All right. So now we're going to get into the interview because these lovely ladies are already here. So we have Chelsea Wind and Liv Wheeler. They are on a United States tour. I'm going to say world tour. maybe it's part of the world. Yeah. And of Folk Medicine Revival, Resurgence of Respect for the Little People. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you, Kezia, for having us.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just start with the beginning of it. Why do you feel like folk medicine needs to be revived, and what exactly are you trying to revive?
Okay, so, well, to talk about any of it, it's kind of, I feel like I kind of have to rewind and introduce who this is all for. And this is all for, a being called Kontomble, which that word is, this word comes from Burkina Faso in West Africa, and this is their word for the little people, which the little people have many names in many places. And, for example, in Ireland, they would be called the leprechauns, or in Hawaii, they would be called the menehune. They have many names in many places, and through a long working with a person named Maladoma Somme from Burkina Faso over years, then in traveling to Africa, I came to develop my connection and my relationship with the Kontomble. And so that whole little, brief backstory is to say this this name was, basically came from them. And so they just, one morning when I was jogging, they just brought that name through. They already let me know that they wanted the tour and everything. And so so I actually had to look it up because I didn't know. I never have really used the word folk. Mm. And I haven't looked too deeply, but from what I can tell, it seems that folk medicine, does for sure have to do with, herbs and plants and that. And also it seems to have to do with spirit. And so for me, what it means is the folk medicine is, speaking to, there's this, revival in a way of like old practices, and that these also come, they're like folk traditions also. Same is true in West Africa. And I do feel that there's a revival of that. Yeah, so do you want to speak anything on that?
I mean, I think for sure the revival of the folk, I think another variation of folk is of a place, too. So, using the medicines of a place, whether that is the local plants and medicines and herbs, or whether that's the spirits of that land, or just a sense of knowing where we are and where we come from and what's in that place, what we walk with, and so a revival of all of that. And then the sub aspect of the tour is a resurgence of respect for mm-hmm. the little people, and that part is, I think, really important to the first part, the folk medicine revival, and basically this whole tour. So as Liv was mentioning, the Kontomble in Burkina Faso, the Menehune in Hawaii, there's basically a word for the little people in almost, I've read it before, as every single language in the Americas, in North America, has a word for the little people. And certainly the little people are in New Zealand, they're in Australia, they're in China, they're in Russia, they're all through Europe, they're in Polynesia, they're in South America, they're in North America. I mean, they're literally everywhere in the world. There's reference in both indigenous cultures and people that are like in a kind of intact relationship with the land, as well as more imperial cultures. And, as we've seen, and I don't think it's necessarily a rule of thumb, but in the imperial cultures, the discussion of the little people gets relegated to this realm of fairy tales mm-hmm. or folk fiction. So basically, I think what we're doing on this tour is just moving through the spiritual landscape mm-hmm. of America, just trying to bust up those assumptions. Like, no, this actually, they are real. And the fact that we are relegating these incredibly powerful allies to the realm of the fairy tale or fiction as if they don't exist is actually part of a kind of imprisonment of our own soul, as well as their that energy being kind of imprisoned. So I don't know, Liv, if you want to build on that at all.
Yeah, I feel like you said it beautifully. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you brought that up because that was what I was going to talk or ask about next. Or just because for people listening, like this relegation that you're talking about, I think is very strong in their minds, right? Like these things are not real or, you know, are, if you say that they are, then there's, I don't know, I guess it comes down to feeling like they can't be proven or, or have some material reality. So how do you navigate that? And like, what do you... try to tell people who just have live in that kind of disbelief?
My personal approach with it is, I've been working with spirit to some degree for over 10 years, so I've had, you know, time to steep in it and to have so many experiences. There's no way I could ever believe this is not real. There's no way I could ever believe this is not real. There are plenty of people who see them in the physical world, you know, Native friends and everything that I talk to. There are plenty of people who know of their reality in the physical world. And also, my approach to that is I'm not here to prove their reality or to try to convince somebody. My approach to, you know, to working with the Kontomle, to working with the little people, and where naturally it just, like, you know, crashes against this, you know, mainstream mindset and everything. And my approach to it is, you know, it's kind of like holding some sort of light or something and just holding that. And, you know, that even, you know, to take it a step further, is kind of like sending out a frequency or something. That what I found is there are plenty of people who innately feel that, who know that, who've had personal experiences. And I've met so many of them through taking the risk of, you know, putting it out there, so to speak. And it's astounding, really. And, you know, so... yeah, that's kind of my approach, is not to really like try to, you know, chisel away at concrete or something like that. It's everybody has a personal journey, you know?
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I mean, there are certain, I mean, you know, the little people, like when you work with them and that energy and Kontomble, like they definitely don't like to be pinned down. And boxed in, and Liv used the word chiseled out, as if in stone, immutable, like not movable. And, you know, I think one of the things that really fascinates me about working with the little people and doing research into different stories from around the world of the little people is, like, it seems like such amazing medicine for the modern mind, because there are stories of, you know, physical sightings. There are people that connect with them. I mean, they're interdimensional beings, which means that they can be here in the present. They can come through a portal space like a tree or a stone or a cave or water and be seen in the flesh, and certainly people do see them. They can come in spirit form. They can come in dreams. They can come in any different kind of way. There's archaeological evidence for them, but to go just down that path of, like, archaeology, I mean, that's a very canonized discipline that is conditioned with so many kinds of assumptions that if you follow out that canon only just to try and, like, prove their existence, you're going to end up in a really strange place that actually isn't super resonant with the Kontomble energy. And I think, you know, the other thing, too, about going just around down that archaeological path is that it you know, is another kind of aspect of relegating to the fairy tale, only that one relegates to the ancient past. So they were actually just in the past, and they're not alive now, and there's not a living, breathing connection that's possible right now in this moment to the other world with them as gateways, bridge keepers, to the whole cacophony of of nature's voices. But, you know, to return to that question, again, it's like, to me, that's the medicine of the little people, and the Kintomble is the way that they stretch our minds and our spirits to be in this world and the other world and many worlds and in the material, physical realm and in the invisible realm, immaterial realm. So, you know, there's a riddle there, and there's an invitation there, I think, for us in our hearts and in our minds to grapple in a way that we're not always being offered otherwise. So the little people are an amazing way to kind of grapple with that, because they are so prevalent in story and all of that. It's not, you know, and so anyways, I would just say that.
Yeah, can you guys speak to sort of how you first came into this consciousness and like what needed to shift inside of your own mind to, you know, get into the relationship you're in now? And also, like, with that, what you feel like little people can provide? Or maybe starting with, well, maybe start with the first question.
So basically how we came to, you know, connect with,
yeah, you personally, basically. Yeah. Yeah,
so yeah, I guess in 2005 I was drawn, or I was called to work with this person named Maladoma Somme, who's an extraordinary teacher, medicine person, author, so on and so forth. Anyway, so I was called to work with him, and I continued to work with him for, you know, I studied and apprenticed with him for about 8 years. And during that time, I also would go to Burkina Faso in West Africa. So Maladoma is from the Dagara tribe in Burkina Faso, West Africa. And so I'd go to, you know, the land of the Dagara, go to the villages there. And through working with Maladoma, through going to, you know, the villages in Burkina Faso, that I would be identified again and again and again as a Kintomble person, which it took me a while to kind of even, what does that really even mean? But it would, you know, it didn't matter what diviner or medicine person I was sitting with, that would always come through when I was in Burkina. And over time, you know, it meant that I kind of went through these initiations, went through initiations in Burkina to develop the energy that was already present probably from my birthing into this world, which that already kind of, you know, one could grapple with. And so I feel like it was more of a process of remembering, remembering over years. And, you know, I was given these bells and, you know, went through this whole process. And basically what happened over time, and when I say time, I'm talking about years, was, you know, this voice started to come through me, which was basically the voice of the Kintomble. And that was maybe like a 6-month process where they were essentially like working my vocal cords and kind of stretching them out to the point that they would be able to communicate through me. And then they kind of turned my consciousness on, or reminded me how to understand that language. So maybe perhaps that's all possible because that's how I was born, you know, and it's just this process of remembering. But because, you know, I'm a fairly conditioned human being, so it's just having to release layers, or, you know, go through the process of deconditioning to the point that I could even really understand what was going on. And my Western mind wrestled with it for sure, and wrestled for years. And even though it could be described to me and I could feel it, it still was hard to understand. And, you know, I feel like that's just the depth of the conditioning in the Western psyche, that it's just, you know, that too has been a process of years and years. And now at this point where this is primarily what I do, is connect with the Kintomble, and their voice comes through me, and, you know, in their native tongue, which is this very high-pitched, you know, kind of fast frequency or high frequency. when they communicate through, the presence of their world is so strong with me. And I'm, you know, I receive information through feeling mostly, you know, and so the presence is so strong, it is undeniable. You know, I'm a sensitive person. When I walk into a space, I feel energy. And when they come, they come strong. And, you know, they'll come through and they'll bring messages through for people. And I oftentimes, like, I'm just first meeting that person. I don't know them at all. And they'll bring through these, like, poignant messages that just, like, bam, you know, reach the soul. And I feel like, I'm a person witnessing the process, and I'm astounded by them, like, constantly just astounded at their medicine and their potency and their accuracy. Oftentimes, you know, I feel like a witness to them. And so that's, you know, that's part of the story, or a lot of the story, or much of the story about how, you know, I came into, like, the place where I am right now with them. And they just, I feel in some ways they're with me all the time. And there's different ways that I can feel their energy get especially strong at times. Like right now, their energy is quite strong in the space as we're, you know, talking about them. Yeah, so if you want to share.
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of the things that I love about Contomble and the little people is watching all the different ways in which they manifest in people's connection to them. And, you know, so for me, I would definitely, I've really developed my connection with Contomble through Liv and through the Contomble that comes through Liv and all of that. I mean, that's been absolutely essential in my development with the little people and with the little people that walk with me, for sure. And so the whole lineage that Liv just named is also, you know, as a receiver of that part of, I'm part of that lineage as well. And I think, you know, for me, the way that Contomble comes through, and this has been like a steady just process of learning, and like my role is not to be a Contomble voice deminer. Like that, it will not be my my role with them, but I feel their frequency. And it's been a quite humbling journey, actually, to sort of like really realize that all of these thoughts that I'd been thinking my own life, particularly these kinds of thoughts with a kind of vibration, are not my thoughts, but those are coming from Contomble. Like, those are the allies that are walking with me, that are giving, you know, that spark of genius, or lighting the way for a certain train of thought, or putting things together in a certain way that's really creative and unique and hasn't been done quite like that. Like, that's not any thought that comes like that. I now recognize as actually being a part of my relationship with Contomble, with the little people. Like, that's how it is. So I'm not seeing them in the flesh. I'm not, you know, their voice isn't coming through me, but their thoughts are, like, all the time. And, you know, I think with musicians, like, their musical genius, or just, like, getting in, like, that can so often come from a connection with the little people, or even, I think that is kind of a signature energy of the little people in general, is genius. Mm-hmm. So in whatever field it is, whether that's alchemy or, you know, technology or music and the arts or dancing, you know, music and dancing is something the little people really love the world over. And then they're a part of that. But so in terms of just like developing my own relationship with them, I mean, yeah, it's been really humbling, because sometimes I think that those are my thoughts, you know, but like, no, they're not. And so there's a kind of respect that has been growing and developing, and there's a humility that's a part of that. And, you know, just grappling with the sense of self, even, and just like, what are my thoughts? What are not my thoughts? Do I even have thoughts that are mine? You know? Fine tuning my awareness to frequency and vibration. And that's been so helpful in my life, because, you know, it's like a muscle. So you can feel the different energies behind different thoughts, different words, different, histories, and, you know, the little people have really, like, Quintomble has really helped me with that whole sensibility, so. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Something also I feel called to say is going back to what you're saying, Chelsea, too, about how they've been, you know, cast into the land of the fairy tale and the reason why for this, like, resurgence of respect for the little people. So there's, you know, it's kind of an interesting time that we're in. And, you know, as I mentioned, too, different Native friends that I have that live on this land in what we call America, they've never been disconnected from the little people. So that's an interesting thing, because it's also of this land, and there's not a question of whether the little people are real. They know that, you know, so it's interesting. It's more of the, like, modern condition or the modern human. And I will say what I'm sensing quite strong is I really, really, really believe that we've entered a new paradigm. I really, really, really believe that we've entered a paradigm, because what I sense and what I feel is true of the Quintomble is they work, I feel, rather masterfully. And so I'll, you know, again, a lot of times I feel like I'm observing them. You know, they request this tour. In a lot of ways, I feel like they created it. You know, they've created it. And I just, you know, so I'll watch and I find it interesting. There's a reason why they do the things they do. And I feel like they're masterful with timing. And it's also rather resonant with things that I've sensed and people that I communicate with around the country that are so-called of this modern mind. And so many people are having really rich conversations with spirit. And the reason why I feel like it's not a part of the culture's conversation is because we all believe that it's not happening, because we've been conditioned. And I feel so strongly that that is the make-believe here. That's the fairy tale right now. That is the make-believe. Mm. So I will, you know, that's my strong, strong sense. And I've been experiencing that to be true again and again and again. I firmly, firmly, firmly believe right now we're in a new paradigm. And I have a suspicion or a sense that that may be why now is the time that the Quintomble is traveling across the land to these, you know, so-called, like, modern communities or these communities of modern humans. And it's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. I guess so many things that I want to ask. but I think one of the things, it's like, I guess the thing that always comes up for me is, like, where to, like, start with people, you know, because there's such a large spectrum of belief and understanding, you know, like, and how to start to integrate this new paradigm in a way that doesn't feel so violent and disruptive to people's way of thinking. And it's like, it's like, even to the degree that I am, like, acculturated or, like, accustomed to you speaking of this or, like, being in the experience of it, like, it still brings up this fear, you know, because it's, like, really challenging our sense of what's real and what's not, and what's possible and what's not, and if this is true, then what does it mean? What are all the implications of that, you know? So I guess I would be curious, like, for people who are really starting at square one, you know, like, really at the very start, like, where do you point them? Like, what could be the beginning of a journey where their understanding of this could be integrated in a way that would be, positive for them, or like, you know, integrating in a way that makes them feel, like, safe in that.
Right. Can someone say that? I need to think on that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, the journey always begins somewhere, and usually when we begin a journey, it's already begun somewhere else. So, it's hard to be
get
like...
Get on the train.
I know, like, but you're probably already on it, so, no. You know, I think and something that Quintomble talks about a lot too is sincerity. And I think wherever there's a sincere desire to connect, like, really, really sincere and really, really honest, and just showing up to spirit, honest, even if you feel crazy when you start talking, or mm-hmm. like it's basically just praying, and you're just speaking to the beings that are around you that we've been conditioned to either not see or feel or think is not real, you know. And so just, but starting with that heart of sincerity mm-hmm. and the intention behind wanting to connect with the other world mm-hmm. and with those beings, like, you know, certainly if it's to like try and amass some kind of personal power, like your journey is going to be marked by a certain kind of energy mm-hmm. versus like just like wanting to connect with that other world from a place of mm-hmm. Respect and in hopes of healing the mm-hmm. split that has happened, because life force and the energies that feed life are in the other world mm-hmm. you know. And and so all of these things that are flowering, that are nourishing us quite literally on a physical level, like the water, like the food that we eat, all of that, that that vitality is coming from the other world, of mm-hmm. which oftentimes the little people will be gatekeepers for, you know, that mm-hmm. spirit. So, and yeah, it looks like, do you have something?
Yeah, but
so
to just
finish
yeah.
that, that sentiment, that starting place of sincerity, for that connection and for kind of healing, like looking out in the environmental destruction and the things that feel sometimes like the toxicity that and that gray energy or however you want to think about it, like out in the world, if you see that and are just, you know, have this desire to like, wow, like we really need to shift course as a people mm-hmm. and connecting to the other world mm-hmm. is going to be a big part of that, just having that sincerity in your heart and beginning that conversation with the other world with, mm-hmm. through offerings. I mean, that's one way to start.
Yeah. I feel also, I was thinking about this the other day. I feel like it's useful for a person to understand how they accept something as true, or where they're, yeah, how they accept something is true,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're deeply conditioned. I mean, we're here in a school right now, right? In
yeah.
a university. So, and we are, you know, deeply conditioned, I believe, in this culture, even when our information is coming through books, to maybe not even so much question what we're taking in. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's useful just to even consider how do you decipher what's real and what's not real? Does it come through an internal, like, feeling sense process? For me, I never assume that anything that I hear or read or see on the television or on a computer screen or anything, I never make the assumption that it's true. What's being expressed to me, I'll feel it from my inside, and I notice what rings true, what resounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my personal truth system resides. And it did happen for me when I first read Maladama's book of Water and the Spirit. When I was reading his stories about the Kontomle, there was something that was like, I knew this was real.
Mm.
I knew it.
Mm.
Somehow I just knew it, you know? And I don't know that I'd ever heard, you know, up until that point, any talk about that. And I don't know, maybe I was around 27 or, you know, something like that. And so I feel like it can be really useful, really helpful to just, you know, come into the feeling body with it, to mm-hmm. come into the feeling body with it that, how does this feel for you? You know, mm-hmm. does it feel true? Does it resonate? You know, just to really come into the feeling body with it, where I feel like we're picking up so much information all the time. We're just not always touching into that place. And so I feel like that can be really useful and really helpful. And something also that just is like whispering in my ear to be named about the Kontomle too is that their affiliation and their connection with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And one other manifestation of the Kontomle person could be a strong environmentalist,
mm-hmm.
a really, really strong environmentalist who has such a you know, heart connection with the environment and feels so protective. And, you know, I get curious about all the people who are walking with the little people or the Kontomle, unbeknownst to them, right? And what are the implications of if that connection is strengthened, that source of connection is strengthened. What are the implications for the earth?
Mm. Yeah, can you speak more about their role and where you see them? And because you spoke a little bit about like the connection between, like, them being a bridge, and even the concept of like little people, like mm-hmm. sort of like smaller instantiations of the kind of energy that humans can, or like, what is their connection to humans in that way?
Do you want to?
Well, so I know, gosh, I mean, all of these questions, but which is a great question. You know, another way in which the little people are talked about is the ancient ones, or the people of the sun, the people of the moon, you know, like the ancient ones. So oftentimes there's even almost an ancestral connection to the little people. And certainly in like the British Isles and all of that, the little people are also completely enmeshed in the world of the ancestors, in the world of the other world. So not that they're in there, but they can hear and see that world too. And so they're little, but they're not little in power or strength or size. They're huge in that. So, you know, like, to refer to them as little is not at all to be mistaken as a diminutive like label, which I think it's taken up. And there's actually these great, you know, different folk tales and stuff in Europe. I'm thinking of these folk tales in the Caucasus Mountains, which is kind of the home to so many of our Indo-European ancestors. And, you know, there, you never call a little person little. Like, you'll get totally reprimanded. They, like, are so insulted, you know, if you call them little. And so, you know, I think there's a kind of, I like to say the little people because it really is how they are known, but to follow that by, like, their actual names, which then will hold a different frequency, or then the ancient ones, which is, like, then another frequency, too, mm-hmm. of just, like, and so then it starts building, and another kind of geometry in your mind starts kind of coming together, and, you know, to understand them is an interdisciplinary pursuit, I think, of many different kinds. What was the initial part of that question?
Yeah, we're going to have to take a break really quick, but basically also just, like, what they offer, and what role they can play. But I'm just going to give everybody some information. So you're listening to WTL New Orleans, 91.5 FM News and Views. Musaica Chamber Ensemble will present Paris in the 20s next Monday, the 11th, at Mulholland Methodist Church in Metairie, and next Tuesday, the 12th, at St. Charles Avenue Presbyterian Church. The performances are open to the public with a donation requested. More information is available online or by phone. Their website is Musaica, MUSAICA.org, and their number is 504-304-8608. WQL and Dragon's Den presents Church, a weekly underground dance party at Dragon's Den every Sunday at 10. This event brings underground sound culture to New Orleans by making national, international, and local underground DJs available to the public with the mission of educating the public on underground dance music by actively involving them in it. And now we're back with Liv Wheeler and Chelsea Wynn. They are on a folk medicine revival tour, Resurgence of Respect for the Little People, and just cultivating our connection to the Contomble. So we were just asking about what role the little people can play for humans, you know, what kind of things they can offer, what their powers.
Okay. What happens in that connection?
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, that's a great question. I think they like that too. Like, everything, oh yes, let's talk about that. So it's interesting, like Chelsea was mentioning, they're so behind creativity and creative energy. Mm. And I feel them, I feel they're at the cutting edge, they're at the threshold, they're pioneers. And so if you're a musician or an artist or, you know, all the different mediums, they're going to push the envelope. You know, they like to push the envelope. They're they basically help humans to evolve. And, you know, I think we all can agree that we could use a little help.
Especially now.
You know, mm-hmm. So they help us to evolve. So they grow things. They're going to want to grow the different medium. They might, you know, create a new medium. Mm. And so that can be within the arts and the music. They're at that threshold space, the cutting edge, the pioneer. And they're going to keep bringing that through any channel really that they have access to, because they're really trying to, it sounds cliche to say, but they're really trying to wake us up. Mm-hmm. And so when they come through in sessions, you know, like Chelsea was saying, I do this Contemplative Voice divination, divining with people, they can be rather bold, you know, a lot of times they're rather bold, and they're interested in getting at the truth. They're not interested in like dancing around it. They're about authenticity, which is a really, really valuable medicine at this point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, as humans, can we not agree too that authenticity is like really, really needed, you know, that elixir of like vulnerability and everything else. And, they bring fresh solutions. So if they're working with a so-called environmentalist, or they would be the impetus to become an environmentalist, right? And they're going to be at the threshold finding like new solutions, new ways. I find that they actually rather enjoy technology because they're working with the different mediums. You know, they're not, it's just about the past and whatever. They're forward thinking. And so all these ways or all these articulations that I'm describing about the Contemplé, that is how they work with us, you know, as humans. Mm. Sometimes that connection is happening already on its own. Like that's a phenomenon. Sometimes it's already working through people. They just aren't conscious of it, you know. And I've heard some really fascinating stories, too, about them with regards to tradition and their relationship with the Sundance and all sorts of really interesting stories I've been hearing about them, you know, being there, bless you, from the beginning, and, you know, bless you, bringing the, like, the fresh technology, bringing the way, these really, really genius solutions, you know, I'm thinking about the whale, mm-hmm. These really, really genius solutions for going about doing things. And I find them right now really kind of speaking at or starting to get at, like, you know, kind of like the ritual of now, or what's the solution of now. And when I say now, I mean, like, now. You know, not even maybe a year ago, but now. And so, yeah, like that. And I'm, you know, something I'm rather interested in or intrigued about the tour is they requested this. At every gathering, there's ceremonies/events. At every gathering, they're bringing messages through for the groups that gather. Here we are in New Orleans. I'm really, really curious, you know, what their messages are going to be, because when we were in Asheville, North Carolina, the last time, they were bringing messages about those mountains, you know, the specific area right there. Mm. And I'm rather curious, you know, what's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen? What are the messages that they're bringing through to New Orleans, for New Orleans, you know? And by the way, it's great to be here.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you here. And I guess, like, on that note of New Orleans, like, I feel like there is a strong culture that's alive with people who live here, in the idea that there is a spirit realm. Mm-hmm. And sort of, but I guess it's relegated more so to spirits, like, ghosts, or maybe that's more connected to ancestors. So I'm just kind of curious, like, where you would place little people in relationship to that, like, landscape in terms of, like, ghosts or other spirits, or, like...
Well, like what you were talking about, I mean, in my experience, you were mentioning ghosts, and a lot of times I feel like that's, like, a missed opportunity at being an ancestor. That would be another way to say ghost, right? And so, to me, you know, the ghosts oftentimes, from what I've experienced, they're humans that basically haven't fully made the transition over, and I'm not super, super aware of the complexity of the spiritual landscape in New Orleans. I can certainly feel it when I'm here. I can sense the ghosts. I can sense strong, strong, strong spirit energy. And I've heard about various practitioners know. Do you want to say something on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and this sort of does return to things that when we were talking about Contemple as like the bridge and the little people as these bridges. I mean, I think in terms of like a whole spiritual landscape, I've heard them and feel too, you know, that they, I mean, so they haven't, and when Contemple comes through like Liv and she was talking about their voice, this high pitched, it still is this language that's sort of embedded into nature itself. Mm-hmm. So it's this natural tongue, which perhaps the birds have, the animals have. I mean, there's this way in which, and I think indigenous people as well, like the language, and indigenous all over the world. So the indigenous here and the indigenous in Europe and all of that, like we all have an indigenous ancestry traced back. There's a language that was grown out of the nature that the people were in, and that language could perhaps, you know, really be in a kind of dialogue with the natural world, with the winds, with the river, with the trees, with the stones, with this kind of a reality differently. And Contemple has never lost that primal tongue. The little people still have that tongue. They haven't lost their language. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I think there's a way in which they can communicate with the spirit of the tree. They mm-hmm. can communicate with the river. They can communicate with the ghost. They can communicate mm-hmm. with the ancestor. They can communicate with the stars, the moon, the sun. You know, they're in this dialogue with the natural world, with the animals, with the plants, like, and yet they're little people. There is a connection to human beings. They're allies with human beings, whether that's some deep, deep, deep ancient ancestral, like the first ones, the ancient ones, if we descend it from that or what, you know, that's the riddle, that's the grappling. I'm not about to be like, this is the linear story of how we've evolved, like with or from, or, you know, little people. That's a big topic. But they're still in communication with that, and they can translate that to us. So and because so many people will walk mm-hmm. with little people as spirit allies, it's sort of just, I'm not saying, and neither Liv and I think are saying it's the only point of connection at mm-hmm. all, but it is a point of connection mm-hmm. that oftentimes many people are walking with and they don't know it mm-hmm. And through making that connection, you all of a sudden start having access to this whole other spiritual landscape, the spirit realm mm-hmm. that you're talking about. Do you want to say
and also there's something that's coming through too that I guess they're wanting said or something like that is it's okay, there's the like spiritual or cultural amnesia and that we talk about, and there's this way it goes back to the like waking up that they try to do with us. There's this way that they like kind of want to, you know, sometimes it feels like, you know, splash cold water and the person says like, wake up, come on. Sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable. They can see there's something I see that people grapple with a lot that I meet is, what are we doing here? Like, what are we really doing here, individually and also collectively? We've kind of lost our way a bit, you know? And so there's this way that they kind of just, in a way, it feels like pull us to consciousness mm-hmm. and remember, oh, shoot, that's what I came here to do. And remember, oh, gosh, yeah, this is what we knew already. How did we forget? Mm-hmm. How have mm-hmm. we forgotten? Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, they're reminders, you know, they are reminders, you know, they're also reminders and have a way of just looking at our soul, you know, and just speaking directly to it and reminding us of, it's so easy to forget when we come into this world, and they'll just remember what we're doing here, you know, it's possible to remember.
Yeah, so I guess I want to ask too, like with this tour, and I mean, I think you spoke of it in different ways, but just to kind of make it all clear, what is your hope from it? Like, what are you envisioning, mm-hmm. like, could happen mm-hmm. through this process?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, the heart of it is what we've been touching on here and there. It's the story about how they've been cast into the fairy tale, the land of the make-believe, and them requesting this tour and putting the request out to the hosts or the organizers of the various locations of the tour and requesting that they show up with a heart of respect to the little people and that the humans that gather show up with a heart of respect, you know, just come with respect, you know. And in that already there's a healing of this, you know, this discord, this split that happens where, you know, we went into the, you know, the land of the forgetting and whatever. So a big hope really is just that, you know, people can show up in a good way. And that already is healing at like a chasm. That already is a healing is, you know, being implemented. From there, I feel like, you know, there's a feeling that I have that we're kind of sprinkling some golden seeds around with the little people with Klintomle. Perhaps they might get watered by the people that come, and perhaps really beautiful new flowers will bloom from those seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in kind of just to build, I totally agree with all of that Liv is offering. And to just build on that, one of the things that Klintomble really brought through in our preparations for this tour is that, you know, each of these places that we'll be gathering in the communities are these places of refuge. Mm-hmm. And these are places of refuge both for the humans. You know, we've been talking, kind of dancing around, like, that I think a lot of people who are connected to spirit or even the little people, like, will have a really hard time. And this is something that Liv's really passionate about and talks a lot about like being out in the community, about that they actually do have these relationships. And, mm-hmm. you know, like Liv was saying, the fiction is that the other world isn't real, not that it is fiction. So, and so there's that aspect of the refuge of just like being able to come in and just be like, oh, okay, like amongst a group of people that also share those relations or those kinds of experiences, and then that strengthens. I think it's also a refuge for the little people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you know, I can get emotional just even thinking about this, but there have been, I mean, and this is again folding back to the environmental connection to the little people, but so many of their homes have been disturbed. That's maybe a mild way of putting it. Quite mild. Poisoned, and I mean, cut down. I mean, just really. And then on top of that, they've been forgotten, or of course, those things probably go together. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a refuge for the little people. It's also a refuge for humans and little people relations. So, you know, so there's like three different levels of refuge happening. There's the refuge for human beings, there's the refuge for humans, and then there's the refuge for that connection, kind of like simultaneously happening in these different communities throughout the land, all of which have connections to the little people, you know, the people that are living in those places, no matter where they're from. Like, here we are in New Orleans, and there are people who can trace ancestral connections to all over the world in different ways, living right here. And, you know, they're walking too with an ancestral connection to the little people. There's also probably, you know, most certainly little people of this land. So how do all of those things be together? How do we be together as human beings? Mm-hmm. And so it's the other world and the nations of the little people, I think, can be thought of, you know, not identical, but through the looking glass to be in a similar way. And so we're coming together in refuge all mm-hmm. through this land. And as Liv has talked about too, just sort of spreading that frequency, that broadcast, who knows what's going to come of this. And that's the thing when you follow spirit mm-hmm. and just like they requested this. So it's just like rummaging that courage to show up for it mm-hmm. and to do it. Who knows what's going to come mm-hmm. and what scale that operates on. And,
yeah.
you know, also I feel called to share this too. A lot of times the reason why people are so afraid to talk about it is because they don't want to be labeled as crazy. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really highly encourage anybody listening, embrace being crazy. Just like embrace it. Embrace the idea that there's, you know, just find a way to just make peace with that whole concept or energy, because that whole fear is, it's suppressing a lot. It's suppressing a lot. It's suppressing a lot. It's suppressing a lot of us coming together and connecting and sharing openly. Like, please, I encourage you, if you feel that, just like take a risk, because what I've experienced in taking a risk, and actually not really at this point, like I'm not really so concerned if somebody thinks I'm crazy or not. I'm just not. And it's such a liberating place to be. It really is such a liberating place to be. And through steadily taking risks of like being out there, yep, I talk to little people, like, you know, and being okay if somebody has to giggle at that or whatever, and that's okay. And that's okay, and that can be their journey. But through continuously and steadily taking those risks, I have met the most amazing souls, oh my goodness, who have the most beautiful stories. And I'm so grateful that they feel, you know, open enough to share those with me. And it's been so worth it. It's been so worth it. It's, I just, you know, when you taste liberation a little bit, even somewhat, oh my goodness, it tastes sweet. It tastes really sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it really comes back to, I mean, that fear about being crazy, it's something I encounter a lot in working with people's dreams. And it's not even about even asking them to believe in anything other than allowing the reality that they feel to be present.
Totally.
And I think that there is a truth, obviously, that we're living in this world where it isn't safe in so many ways and so many places too. Be fully embracing of the fullness and the depths of what you feel in the moment. And I think, and I also think that the risk is necessary, you know, for us to cultivate those places. So I certainly appreciate you guys taking that risk. And I agree that the crazies, I mean, it's a tough word, you know, because there's a lot there.
And I don't mean to say that.
Like, yeah.
You and I have had this conversation.
Yeah, no, before.
I know it can be loaded because I'm not trying to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know what I think that you're.
Well, that's
into.
What's hard though, because it's the same line, because it is about what other people design as what's real and what's not.
Sure.
And when is it the place of people outside of you to say, you know, no, this is not real, or you're operating in some kind of reality that can't move forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the paradigm. Like, when you're talking about paradigm shift,
exactly.
That's the shift. Because obviously the way we're doing it right now is not working.
Clearly.
You know, I want to just add one thing to that, because this, I think, comes up a lot too when I look into the little people. But, you know, they're walking that line of like not real and not real. And that's one hurdle to get over. Okay, they're real. And then there's another hurdle of like good or bad. You know, and so there's like that, and then we're also really deeply conditioned and have been, you know, there's like some pretty gnarly histories that I think almost all of us can draw upon with just, you know, the indoctrination of certain religion. I mean, so like if, yes, they are real, and you can see that in the Christian Church's relationship to the British Isles and all of that, for instance, you know. The Catholic priests and the pastor, I mean, it's not that they didn't think that the little people and the fae and the city were not real. They very much thought they were real. They were completely real. But they were evil.
Right.
And that, I think, like, really plays into the fear around crazy,
too.
Deeper layer to really get in. Mm. And to explore that fear and the grief around that fear is a really, really deep journey into some histories that we all should really be paying attention to. So
yeah, no, that's a really, really good point.
It is a really good point.
Because I think Yeah, I think, you know, they didn't burn the witches because they thought they weren't real.
I know, exactly. It was very real. Yeah. And, you know, and there's definitely some residual feelings that I think a lot of us have about that, and for very good reason. And
collective trauma, and it's trauma also that lives in the land. I mean,
totally.
Seemingly nearly any place you go, there's just, you know, pretty intense trauma that just lives inside of the land itself from the, you know, kind of extremely violent history. And yeah, people being persecuted and, you know, killed and whatnot for their beliefs. And yeah, so yeah, I don't mean to undermine it or belittle it at all, or make it to, you know, try to be something light. And also, when I am hearing the same same sentiment from so many different people across the country, different parts of the world, when I'm hearing the same sentiment that they're afraid to share with anybody around them, I mean, that's staggering. You know, that's that's really, really, really deserves attention, you know, to be looked at more deeply. And you know, and when I got started on this path, I had so much resistance, so many people telling me it wasn't real and everything. And I just was flowing with what I knew in my heart and what I knew to be true. And that was, you know, thankfully stronger. And now it's, you know, many of those same people that were like, actually, you may have been onto something with that. Well, okay, that's cool. Right on. Okay.
Yes, yes. Well, I can't thank you guys enough. And I feel like this interview in itself is a reflection of that. You know, keep shining that light. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so needed and it's so powerful. Like, even just for me right now, hearing it again. And like I said, like, I do think it's very much, you know, it's a struggle inside of everyone. And at some point you have to learn what you want to believe in. I mean, like, you're all everyone's believing in something.
Sure.
So you have to make that choice. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kezia. And it's an honor to sit here with you and to be in New Orleans and to be hosted by this radio show. And yeah, it feels really good to have, you know, open airwaves to have such free discussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's exciting. And I look forward to getting in on the internet. So if people tuned in a little bit late, the whole thing is going to be up on our website, wtlnews.tumblr.com, and it's at the 9 o'clock.